It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think you got to punt it here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow. You're on the 36 and a half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
All right, folks, here we go. Second half of the season. Here we go. Oh, wait, that's a Bud Light commercial, isn't it? Welcome to the Jack Del Rio show. I'm Brian Sexton, along with Joe Fortunato, and we are in the cozy confines of the radio studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Hey, Joe, how are you?
It's a great place to be, isn't
you
it?
You bet. They should never have taken Hey Joe off the air, but that's a whole other story. Every time I say it, I think, wow, there you go. Hey, folks, when you're looking for department store style as the holiday season approaches and you're looking for discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. You know how to get us tonight, 355-NFL-1, if you're listening to our flagship radio station, News Talk WOKV. Let's see, what's the other? At Jags Voice, if you're into the Twitter thing. You know, I listened to you guys on Monday do the Gene Smith show.
Correct.
Why can't we have the whole Facebook thing?
You could. Just
what do I have to say?
Send him to well, I don't belong, so I see.
But you,
anti-social network.
Yeah, but don't, isn't it a Jaguars account? You can't.
No, Cole logs in for me.
All right.
Are you on Facebook?
Well, yeah. I can't believe not either.
Well, during the break, log in over here.
Okay.
And just post whatever you need to post. And people will answer to it. And you can also do Facebook as well.
You should. I'm going to get you an account, Joe.
I'm
going to drag you kicking and screaming.
I'm anti-social media.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you're just anti-media in general. But, hey, that's who he is, folks. All right, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, at Jags Voice for the Twitter in you. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Somebody
is that a thing?
Market for the Twitter in you.
For the Twitter in you. Yeah, we're a little slap happy here. To be honest with you, we heard early in the day that the coach was not going to be with us this evening, and then we heard he might be. And then we heard we might have defensive back coach Corey Unlinden, and we don't know. So we're kind of rolling with it here this evening, and I want to start with this, and I say it after every bye week. Man, the red zone, he is here. How are you, coach? Nice to see you. The red zone is phenomenal product for the National Football
League. It almost looks like some Dallas Cowboy garb there.
That's just standard issue NFL.
That did you wear
that?
Silver.
Did you wear that in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night? And boy, game of the year in college football. Yawn. The
why?
Next day,
why yawn?
Oh, it was so.
What do you mean yawn?
Oh, I know there's some great players. Don't get me wrong.
It was edge of your seat. Are you kidding me?
No. The next day in the NFL, there's some great edge of your seat stuff. How about the end of the Patriots Giants game? How about Patrick Peterson returning the punt in overtime? In the Arizona-St. Louis game, there were some great finishes in the NFL now.
Don't be a hater.
I'm not. I'm just saying it was billed to be this great big game. You were
it
there.
It was a big game.
But it wasn't this great big game. It was just game.
No, it was a great big game.
You had
game.
A good time.
Yeah, it was outstanding.
Good. A couple of days with your son? The football experience?
Yes. Nice. You know, he was up there with a select group. You know, select group of recruits up there, so it was good to be a part of that.
And who wanted him on the sideline more, LSU or Alabama? You got ties to both.
Yeah, we were there with Bama, though, all the way.
All right, I figured that one. All right, folks, the coach is here, as you can hear, and we're talking about the second half of the season. You had your team back for a day yesterday. They had four straight days off. As a former player, what's it mean in the middle of the season to get four straight days off? And, some guys got their bye week in week four. Your guys, week eight. That has to be a nice little perk, bonus.
Well, you want to take advantage of the opportunity to rest your body a little bit, recuperate. If you banged up, take advantage of that, the extra time, treatment time. And so it was good. It was good for us. I mean, I've never experienced 4 days off in a season, you know.
So imagine with me for a minute. I mean, that's got to be – it's better than getting banged for 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, we made the most of it. I to me, there's a timing of it. We like to continue to work the guys a little bit. Yeah, you know, I encourage our guys to have active rest, to not just be dormant.
Right.
And we tried to make the most of it, and hopefully the guys paid attention and did that. And Well, they came back in good spirits, had a good day yesterday. Today's off, and then we're back with the normal game week.
All right. You like to say 2-6, our record is what we've earned. Can you, to a degree, can you wipe that mindset out here for the second half of the season, the 2-6, and look at it 0-0, second half of the season?
Well, we can't do anything about the about the first half.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, can you just put that aside there and week to week?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to attack this game here. So, you know, one game season each week, and we got to, you know, put what's happened in the first 8 games, first half of the year, put that behind us. We don't carry it forward, good or bad. And certainly there's some lessons we can learn from and some experience that we should grow from. I think the mindset's been good. We've got a good, hardworking group of guys. Good character, good, tough, hardworking group of guys. And they've stuck together, not flinching at all. And we're kind of fired up about getting going here in the second half and having a good run.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break, step aside. More to come with the head coach of the Jaguars here from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Or you can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Texans game on November 27th. From Gate, you'll get 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio lounge passes, and a limo for 4 people to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Jaguars open up the second half of the season in Indianapolis against the Colts. When you watch, Coach, and obviously Peyton Manning is one of the greats to ever play the game, and Curtis Painter is not. When you watch this Colts team, do they still try to do what they've always done? And you've explained on this program for years that they're really quite simple in their approach. It's just people have a hard time stopping them. Are they still trying to do the same thing, or because of the circumstances, are they dramatically changing their approach?
No, they're not dramatically changing. And actually, Curtis Painter is actually had some very strong moments where, you know, look, you understand, he understands system. He's got good playmakers. He understands what it means to distribute the ball. Garçon is explosive as ever, probably more explosive this year than maybe he has been. I mean, he's really, really been strong. Reggie Wayne on the outside, it remains a Pro Bowl caliber target for him. And Adai's coming back. It sounds like he's going to make it back, and he's a Pro Bowl level player. So, now they've still got weapons. They're still dangerous. They were jumping all over Pittsburgh. They had Kansas City dead to rights.
Sure, and they played very well on Monday Night Football in Tampa.
Yeah, we're gearing up, you know, for a battle. It's a divisional game. We're getting ourselves ready to go up there and play good football. And
well, we only have to go back a couple of years to Cincinnati, who hadn't had a win when we went up there. I think it was 2008.
Yeah, I really don't want to go back there. But thanks anyway.
Well, but you get my point. Is that people need to understand?
It's the NFL.
Yep, it happens.
It's the NFL. New Orleans was supposed to roll all over
Seattle,
St. Louis, right? And wasn't it St. Louis that?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the playoff game last year.
Yeah, and that one too. So, no. I can't stand it. To me, it's offensive when I hear stuff like that. And what I'm trying to tell you right now is that our guys, look, we just want to play good football. We needed to develop certain sections of our football team. We're working hard to do that. Guys came back with great energy, and we're getting ready to go up there and find a way to, you know, scratch out a win and move on to the next one.
All right, let's grab our first call of the night, and we'll go to James, who joins us from Kentucky. Hello, James. Welcome to the program. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, Brian and Jack. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, hey, James.
Hey. I actually got a few questions. I'll make them as quick as possible. I'll go to the defensive side of the ball first. You, Jack, and Mel Tucker, you guys have been doing excellent getting guys in the right place. My question was about Tyson. I've seen a few games where you guys have him actually lined up at defensive end, whether you guys stun him or just rush him off the edge. Is that something you guys see going, you know, to continue to do further into the future? Because he seems to get some good bursts off the line. The second question would be about offensively, about Brian Robisky. How many snaps do you think he may get? I know you guys just brought him in. He doesn't have too much continuity with the offense. And then the third question is just kind of a funny one. I was just wondering, Coach, how many times do people compare you to Christopher McDonald, the guy he was in, Happy Gilmore as the bad guy? I'm sure you get that a lot. It's just kind of
no. It's your first time on this show.
No, that's first time I've heard that one.
Joe will be looking for him now on YouTube.
We got to look him up.
Do you know him? Do you know the character? Okay.
Oh, I had one of the recruits this weekend say, "Hey, nice to meet you, Roger." And I said, "What?" He said, "Aren't you Roger Goodell?"
What did you want to say? That's what I want to know. What did you want to say? What did you say, but what did you want to say?
No. My only thought was I would change a few things if I were commissioner.
Bite your tongue, say nothing. Nice to meet you, too. Absolutely.
No, it was good. Okay, so Tyson.
James, we're going to talk about Tyson.
All right, Tyson off the edge. You know, he did that in college. So, yes, we can slide him out, bring him off the edge. Sometimes we'll do it because we want to bring somebody else inside. Sometimes we do it because we want the collapse of the pocket, him off the corner. He did that some at Cal. And so he's a guy that, you know, lined up on the nose. Three technique is a guy that lines up on the outside of the guard and then all the way out on the offensive tackle. So he has that flexibility. So, yes, we will continue to do that.
Tyson's a guy we had on the show last night, on the television show, and the thing that struck me was just how powerful his grip was. I mean, this is a guy great strength.
Big, strong man, you know, huge calves. I mean, a lot of power in him. Good football player. Really glad we have him. And the other question
about Brian Rubisky.
About Brian, you know, snaps this week. I'm not counting on snaps this week for him. We'll see where it goes. That could change. Really entering this week, wanting to get him indoctrinated into the system, into the scheme. Unlike Mike Sims-Walker, who was able to play right away, you know, he had been in our system for several years and understood the language, and much easier to plug him back in. It'll take a little bit of time, in fairness to Brian, to get him up to speed. But, you know, hopefully next week we travel up to Cleveland. Maybe that's a more realistic opportunity to get him started with a Jaguar uniform on.
If he doesn't play, and it doesn't sound like it's a strong possibility, who picks up the snaps that Mike Sims-Walker? Would Cecil Shorts get more of an opportunity? Has he earned that on the practice field yet?
We'll likely have at least five wide receivers up, and they'll be, you know, those guys will get plenty of opportunities. And you know, we were carrying on okay without Mike, and unfortunately, you know, Mike, we you know tried to get it going, and you know, his knee didn't allow it to continue. So we move on. We have an opportunity to get Brian in here, and we'll get him up to speed and see how the week goes. But we're not going to just thrust him into the lineup. We have guys that have been here. We'll bring him along as we can.
Appreciate the phone call from Kentucky, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Also, on Jaguars All Access last night, we ran a clip from Mercedes in the locker room, and he was laughing about the grief that he took back home from his family and friends about the way his season has started. And he was lighthearted about it, but I know that's probably not his approach. What, Coach, do you see with Mercedes, and how do they get that chemistry going between Mercedes and Blaine? Is that just time and practice, or is there something that you can do to kind of jumpstart it with him?
Oh, I don't know if it's chemistry. I think, you know, Mercedes just has to make his plays. You know, get open, catch the ball. You know,
that's simple.
He's been a real strong player for us. I think last year he was dominant. He just hasn't started that way. And
we started to see him make some catches, though, in the Houston game. Which
he's sprinkled in some catches all year.
Right.
But he has not been, thus far, that dominant presence for us. Run blocking or pass receiving. So, look, he just needs to, you know, kick it up a notch and get going and be the guy that we know he is. And he will. I have every confidence that he will. So, that to me, when you have something, you have a known, you know what you have. You just want to be able to count on that.
Sure.
That's, you know, and just and get that going. That'd be a great asset for any quarterback, much less a young quarterback, to have a big, strong tight end down the middle that can be that kind of presence for you.
Well, and to see that soundbite last night on the air, that's clearly what he thought as well. 355-NFL-1. Fans, you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239. And enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. More to come with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. Jaguars at Indianapolis on Sunday. We'll start the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show for those of you in Jacksonville or who want to listen at WOKB.com at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Then we'll pick up the Sudden pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1, Aetna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Jaguars and Colts, as you know, division rivalry. We talked a little bit about the offense, no Peyton Manning, but still the principles apply. Same thing with the defense. They've had some injuries on that side of the ball, too. Although I guess their middle linebacker, Pat Angerer, is playing pretty well in place of the injured Gary Brackett. So do you still see what their defensive staff and Lawyer Coyer want to do? Still approach it the same way? It's just not as easy for them because they're not playing with a big lead like they normally have.
Very similar. That's the biggest difference. They're not playing with the lead as often. And they're built to, you know, rush you. I mean, they're guys, you know, Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, as good as any pair out there in the league. So they're obviously built to rush the quarterback and play best with a lead. So, you know, that's why we want to make sure we start fast. I mean, it's a football game that you want to start fast in. So,
Colts at home, especially when that dome has been loud, when they had the door closed. Yeah, they really had. That thing was built for a very specific brand of football. And for 10 years, man, it hummed. I mean, won as many games, many regular season games as any team. In fact, more since 1999 and 10 straight years in the playoffs. And they built that team very specifically. You know, they went out and they added a couple of free agents, and in particular, you know, a couple of big bodies. Has that, again, it's tough to be able to say whether it worked or not because they're just not playing the same style of football this year, are they? I mean, they've never been stout against the run.
You'd have to ask them if it worked. I mean, you know. I mean, I'm not here to grade their team. I'm just telling
you what you see on tape.
We respect what we see. You know, we prepare to play our best, and really it's about us focusing on playing good football from our standpoint and understanding that every team in this National Football League has talented players that are college all-stars, and they got coaching staffs that work their tails off. So we're approaching it like, you know, we need to be at our best, and they're going to be at their best, and we're going from there. But in terms of evaluating, is this move good for them or not?
Well, just wondering
I'll
if
leave
they
that
were
up to
more
you guys.
Stout against the run based on what you had seen.
Yeah, they've got bigger tackles than they've had in the past. Yes, they spent some time on adding some beef to their defensive line. Yes.
355 NFL 1. Let's grab Trey in New Orleans. Hello, Trey.
Hey, I was just calling Jack Del Rio. We were in New Orleans this past weekend wearing our Jag gear at the Saints game, and we had all these ladies coming up to us and telling us how much they loved you. And so I just thought that was funny and wanted to bring that up. But my question was basically on Blaine Gabbert, watching him as a young quarterback. I mean, this is the second rookie that you've coached for the Jaguars. And you know, things weren't always pretty with Byron Leftwich either, but there was a lot of excitement watching a young quarterback kind of develop in the NFL, and I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, do you still have that same excitement for Blaine Gabbert, you know, seeing if he improves and what we can do with this offense?
Yeah. Completely different. First of all, you're talking about two rookie quarterbacks, first-round pick quarterbacks that I've had the opportunity to coach, and yes, there is a similarity in that, and that's really about it. I think they were both taken in the top 10. They both play the quarterback position. That's really about it. I think in terms of excited to work with guys, I'm excited to work with all of our guys. I think with the quarterback position, it becomes a little more of an attention getter, more interest, more questions, more speculation. And so, you know, more opinions from everybody. Everybody watching thinks they know what a quarterback should be doing. I feel like 9 years into this job as a head coach, I have a much greater understanding of how important that position is to a football team and how much goes into it. I think it's the hardest job in professional sports and very demanding, physically, mentally, you know, everything that you put into it really feeds right through the quarterback position, especially in the National Football League. So, in terms of being excited about where Blaine is and where he has the potential to go, absolutely. And do I see him making progress? I do. And I think he's already in the first half of this year done some great things, okay, in terms of awareness, in terms of having the big arm, in terms of being athletic. And so we're excited about building on that, but we want to start doing the routine things a little easier. Some of the easy plays, keep them in the easy category. That's really where we're going to make the biggest jump for him and for us as a football team.
All right, we appreciate the phone call. We are due for a break here as we hit the bottom of the hour. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. More to come with the head coach after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton joined now by the Jaguars secondary coach, Corey Undlin. Joe, show him where the headset is there. And oh, he doesn't want that. No, you're good. How are you, Corey?
Outstanding.
Nice
How
to
you
see
doing?
You. Good.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you. Folks, if you don't know, Corey coaches the defensive backfield. And this is your third year in Jacksonville?
Third year.
Okay.
Second year coaching the DBs.
All right.
Jack gave me the opportunity to work with the D-line and the outside linebackers when we were 3-4.
Right.
That first year I was here when me and Tuck came in.
Okay.
From Cleveland. So it's been good. Third year just like that.
And all of a sudden now you've got a defense that is performing at a really high level.
They're playing well.
Eighth against the pass. Eighth tied for points allowed. And, you know, we've seen good defense all season long, but it seems like the second half of that Pittsburgh game was the time where it turned, you know, where things started to mesh or become cohesive, or it's the communication. I mean, however you want to put it.
Right.
But, you know, you had all these guys that came in. You've got a couple of them in your defensive backfield.
Yes.
They all come in, you know, middle of August, and, you know, by the end of, you know, October, all of a sudden now this group is playing well.
Yeah, it's tough to not point to that game because of that second half of that. I mean, we've been playing good. It's tough, especially as a secondary guy, maybe even on defense or at any position, when you get stuck and you look at the stats all the time,
right?
You want to justify, hey, we're playing good, whether it's versus the run or versus the pass. The stats say this, they say that. But bottom line, I mean, we care about one, and that's the win-loss column. So, I mean, we talk about it a little bit, not that much. I mean, the Wizards is a football team, and that's offense, defense, special teams. So you can go out there and shut down teams and hold them to a low number. If it's not lower than what the offense is scoring, then it's not going to be good enough. That's right.
It doesn't feel good.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about Rasheem Mathis. He's a guy, everyone's got him under the microscope all the time. He's a local kid. He's been here for 9 years.
Yep.
Played at a Pro Bowl level.
Yep.
He's obviously a guy in a contract year, and he is playing very, very well, isn't he?
He's playing very well, very solid. Is it perfect? No. But he's
I doubt you'd say that about anybody.
No. Though. I mean, that's tough. I mean, this is National Football League. I mean, there's things that are going to happen, and we've played some obviously good offenses, and we're going to play him every Sunday. But he's played very well. Sometimes people get stuck in the same thing. You go back to the stats. He hasn't had 5 interceptions. He's not returning them for touchdowns. I mean, he's playing at a high level. Balls are not getting thrown over there as much because of that. And then, you know, we've gotten into some situations where, obviously, Derek has come back. He's playing well. The two of them have played well. And we've stayed healthy back there. Even going back to last year with Rasheen, I said this when the season was over. Everybody was talking about him. He didn't, you know, the interceptions again. But, I mean, he played every snap of defense last year. And he hadn't done that in the previous couple of years. So the fact that he's out there, and I think the biggest thing from a coaching standpoint, we're playing man coverage, and we're playing it very confidently. And he, at that position at the line of scrimmage right now, is playing with a lot of confidence and very effectively, which is obviously huge.
You know, this is probably as good a time as any to introduce the concept of what you see isn't always real on the football field. And by that, I mean a fan might see Rasheen get beat for a reception and might think, well, that's his fault, right? Because the guy was over to his side. But it doesn't always work that way. There's lots of thoughts about that on the offensive line. You know, if a guy gives up a sack, but they only see the guy who started lined up across from Guy Wimper or from Eben. They don't see how he ran and who was responsible or where the slide protection was. So when you evaluate a player in the National Football League, it isn't just what you see. You can't scout off TV and understand it completely.
That's very accurate, very accurate. And then obviously when you watch it on TV or you see it, even if you see it live, if you are not on time, you don't know exactly what the defense is, where it's cover 2 or it's cover 3 or depending on how the route came out. There's times during the game it comes out the sideline and we got to look at the pitcher and make sure that we talk to them, hey, how did it come out? I mean, it happens that fast, but I mean, when you're playing man coverage and you got that guy, and the guy catches a pass, obviously it's down on you. But a lot more times than not, it's probably not how you saw it.
1-855-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. How about the guy on the other side? Derek Cox has been back after battling some injuries against the Ravens and against the Texans. Coach, it sure looked like he's playing pretty well.
He's playing. He's gotten better every week. Obviously, barring the injury there and missing a couple games, he has come back and done a nice job. He stayed healthy. And as long as we can keep him in that position where he's not pulling anything and he's out there practicing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we expect him to keep playing at that level as well. Just like you talk about Rasheen, is it always perfect? No. The biggest thing I think for Derek and for the entire room and our defense is the addition of the other guys that you talked about. I mean, those free agents between DeJuan Landry, Dwight Lowry, Drew Coleman, and then obviously you already have Rasheen over there. I think that's made a big difference on Derek. When you have guys in the room that know the game, not just from a playbook standpoint of this is how I play the technique, but when you start seeing the game and you see things unfold, whether it's just a formation getting lined up, it's a certain motion, and you now understand how they're building stuff, no matter what coverage we're in, you play faster, you play more confidently. And I think that's been the biggest thing from Derek from year one, two, and now being three. And even that time when he was out in that stretch of games there, for him to still be in the meeting room and not be playing and then watching it all from the sideline, I think that helps him. I mean, obviously we don't want the guy hurt and not out there.
No, he's
but there's certain things that things happen like that, and then it's like, wow, now you see it more so from back there and you hear the communication with those guys. He's definitely gotten better, and I think that's been a big part of his game, just the knowledge-wise, the awareness-wise, and the more experience is always going to help you.
All right, we need a break. We'll take come back. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the new safeties, Dwight Lowry and DeJuan Landry. We're visiting with Corey Undlin, the Jaguars defensive backfield coach, here on the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We're visiting with the Jaguars defensive backfield coach, Corey Undlin. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. Coach, we started talking a little bit about the safeties, and I mean, last year it was just not a good situation at all. With all due respect to Courtney Green, who gave you a lot, was a very physical guy for 11 starts there. It was a hole in the middle of the defense last year. Gene Smith went out and he found some solutions for you. Tell us about DeJuan Landry and Dwight Lowry. I mean, if you've seen the Jaguars play at all, you understand why the defense is playing at a better level now.
You have two very, very mature, smart players. They understand the game, not even talking about athletic-wise or physical presence. They understand the game. They've both been in the league for a few years. DeJuan being in Baltimore, being around some great players, some great coaches. He came in and he's got a strong, strong background, a strong understanding of the game. It comes easy to him. I mean, he can go in there and DeJuan, we're just how we're going to play this. And he's playing more than one spot for us. He's playing strong. He's playing free. We role play him. He comes in and plays the dime in our what we call peso when he comes into the game. He plays a lot of roles in the defense. And you can tell him one time, and he's got it. He understands routes, concept. I mean, he's just a sharp, sharp guy. And that, you know, whether you can take all the athletic ability, which he's a good athlete, he's a physical player. But when you take that and you put him in a situation where he understands the game and he can play that much faster, it's a whole different ball game. Courtney Green, obviously Courtney's not in the lineup right now because first of all because of the injuries, and then we got with Dwight Lowry coming back in with more of a free safety background. But Courtney has benefited from the presence of those two guys as well, being a younger player and being able to learn and watch those guys practice and prepare. Courtney's going to be fine.
How about Lowry over there? I mean, he's got two interceptions. His nickname was the closer in New York, so obviously he's got a sense of the big play.
Yes.
And he's made it, you know, consistently over the course of his career.
He is he should have more than he's got two. He should have about four.
Right.
We give him a hard time about that, but he's got a great nose for the football coming out of San Jose State. I mean, I forget the number, but he had unbelievable numbers and interceptions his last 2 years at San Jose State. Obviously why the Jets took him. He's a perfect player for them. Same thing. Very, very smart. Smart player. Obviously he's very athletic, can cover a tight end, can cover a wide receiver, can play in the deep part of the field, understands the game. And so when you have two players back there like that between those two guys, there's a lot of discussion in our meeting room. It's not like you just go in there and say, hey, this is the defense we're playing, show the plays, which has been a big, big plus for me as a coach to be able to go into a room and not just have to go in there and say, hey, this is how we're playing, and everybody shakes their head and says, yeah, that's how we're playing it. I mean, there's constant discussion. I wouldn't say arguments, but, I mean, those guys see and have played things different ways.
Right.
So there's a lot of communication like, hey, how do you think about this? What do you think about this? This is how we've done it in the past. Not that it's the right way, but this has helped us in the past. So then that communication, which then in turn goes to Derek, it goes to Rasheen. It puts Rasheen in a situation where he's got to now think about it, but playing it a different way than he's played it the whole time. So it's making those two guys have made us better, making obviously you always make you a better coach. And then you make in turn the secondary and then the rest of the defense, the linebackers, the D-line. It just makes everybody better.
You know, you said something about each of these guys, and clearly you're talking about a different level. You say understand the game. You're not talking about understand the game plan. You're talking about the game. Can you just share exactly what you see with these two guys or what they see that makes it different?
Yeah, I mean, there's when you put in a game plan or depending on how much defense you have in a scouting report going into any opponent or just when you go into training camp and we're going against the offense, obviously you put in an installation and you put in two coverages one day, then you put in a pressure, and then you put in another coverage, whether it's zone or man. So there's a lot of things that for younger players, when they come in, their entire focus is just, I just got to get lined up. So I can look at the pitcher on the box, okay, I'm going to play cover two right here, and that's it. And if you can get your young guys to just get lined up, that's a bonus. You can put any coverage in you want with guys like that, and Rasheen's obviously at that level already. And then now understand how the coverage works. The offense comes out, whatever formation it is, there's a shift, there's a motion, they know the routes. They understand how the coverage works, so they can play it differently than a young guy would get lined up the first time and just get lined up and do exactly what you're telling them to do, which is pedal straight backwards, look at the quarterback. I mean, they just play the game, which allows them to play faster,
right,
and be more aggressive and do everything else. I mean, there's some things that actually it's a different for a coach when you have guys that play like that because they get kind of – it gets to the point where it's like, wow, that's not exactly how I would see it, but because they can do it and they know what's happening with the offense and the other players in the defense, they can play it with a little bit more confidence, and it allows them to be more aggressive like Rasheen can be,
sure,
and those two guys can be because they know where everybody else fits in the defense.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. More with Corey Unlin. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We got to get a quick segment in here. Hey, real quick, a guy that gets overlooked is Drew Coleman.
Yep.
And not because he's 5'9", and not because he's not very important. It's just, you know, you talk about the starting corners and the starting safeties, and you forget it. He's got a sack, an interception, a forced fumble. He sealed the win against the Ravens.
Yep.
He's been a big addition.
Big addition. And he gets overlooked mostly because he's not out there all the time either.
Right.
And when you have a guy in there that's I keep saying this, but his knowledge, he fits into that whole thing. I mean, the guy's got a vast knowledge of the game. He's played a lot of different techniques. He's played in that system in New York. Now they've done a lot of things. So he's played a lot of different techniques. And he understands it in there. Regardless of his height, I mean,
He
makes big plays. He's a physical player. When the ball is thrown, obviously he's got a good knack for it. He should have a couple more for us too, but he's doing a heck of a job, and he's been a great addition for, because he actually, when we're in sub and he's out there, he relates and is with more communication, doing more stuff with Derek and Rasheen than the safeties are, really. So him and Derek have got a good blend. He does a nice job of pushing Derek and helping Derek in his understanding of the game, especially on third down when you get a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening on third down depending on what coverage you're playing. So.
You know, you have just told the story of an intelligent group of defensive backs who work together, which is, you know, it's an addition from where you were last season. But when you look at the whole group, when you look at what Paul Posluszny and Daryl Smith and Clint Session have going on, and even up front, I mean, with what Knighton and Alualu and Jeremy Mincy is giving you, this whole defense, just, it has an aura about it.
There's no question. And regardless of what you say about last, I mean, it don't matter.
No, exactly.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, we've been fortunate. Gene's obviously done a great job, and Jack and Tuck is putting these guys in a situation where they can go out and play every Sunday, play fast, know what to do their job. And You know, we've been talking about the secondary because it's my room, but
right.
I mean, that entire defense, all those numbers and all those stats, whatever they are, is because of the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary, frontwards and backwards. And as soon as one of those things, if you lose one of those spots, and, I mean, we all know this. I mean, it breaks down, and it can quickly go the other way.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you've just told the story, though, of a group of talented guys who are
yep.
smart, who are dedicated, who have a tremendous work ethic. I mean, I'm looking at that group. I can't think of one knucklehead, although you might be able to, and I don't know who, but a bunch of guys that work hard, and that, with what you and Tuck and your whole staff are doing over there, is why you guys are ranked fifth in the NFL.
Good guys, work hard, play hard, and again, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, we're 2-6 right now. If we were 0-8 or we were 8, I don't think that group would approach the meetings tomorrow morning,
right?
The lift with Coach Richardson, the practice, I don't think they would approach it any different. They're all professionals. They all hold each other accountable,
right?
And so I care less. I mean, they go out and play like that, you got a chance. We got some mature. We got a great group. I mean, that's all you can say.
We're up against a break. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
Greatly appreciate the chance to visit with you and talk about your defense. So we take this break, come back, and put the show to bed, folks, on a Tuesday evening. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Don't forget the Jaguars and the Colts Sunday from Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis. For those of you in Jacksonville or listening on the internet, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 10 a.m. Start of the pregame show at noon. We'll get you ready for the 1 o'clock kickoff at the halftime show. And then following that, the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. You know, Ryan Robinson, who does the stats for the Jaguars, the guy who writes the news release that most of us read in the media. I know I read it from cover to cover. He put out the stat yesterday, or at least the tidbit, that there have been 19 meetings between the Jaguars and Peyton Manning. And there have been 20 meetings between the Colts and the Jaguars. So, in other words, who's the only guy to take a snap for the Colts against the Jaguars other than Peyton Manning? And it came in 1995 when Manning was clearly not in the National Football League, was at the University of Tennessee. And I thought it was Jim Harbaugh because he was the quarterback for that team that year and took him to the playoffs, but it wasn't. It was Craig Erickson, if you remember, the former Miami Hurricane. So, I mean, we're going way. That was a 41-31 game. The Colts returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown that day. I remember it vividly. It's a different look. I mean, if you saw them at all against the Falcons, you understand this is not Peyton Manning's team. They still try to do a lot of the same things, but you have heard probably people say that Peyton Manning should be the MVP of the National Football League based on what the Colts have done this season. And you're not going to give it to a guy who's on the sidelines and not playing, but, boy, that's as good an argument as you can make. A couple of years ago, the New England Patriots lost Tom Brady on opening day against Kansas City, and Matt Cassel stepped in, and that team went 11-5. Didn't make the playoffs, but they went 11-5. And this Colts team is 0-9 as they get set to play the Jaguars this week. So, yeah, you can make a case for Manning's greatness based on what the Colts have done this year. We'll see what it means for the Jaguars on Sunday, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Jack Del Rio Show. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.